Tell your neighbor, say the word of God. That's what we are dealing with today. The word of God. John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were made by the word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is in the word. Life is in the word. Life is in the word. Revelation 19:11-13, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. Church, we are dealing today with the Word of God. The Word of God that we are dealing with is a person. It is the person of the Godhead. The Word of God is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus is the Word of God. But not only that, secondly, Jesus is the anointed Word of God. I say, secondly, Jesus is the anointed. Jesus is the anointed Word of God. When we are dealing with the Word of God, we should know what we are dealing with. We are dealing with the anointed Word of God. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Can you see that? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Jesus is the anointed Word of God. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed him. He is the anointed Word of God. How God anointed him. He is the anointed Word of God. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Are we together, friends? Number three, Jesus is the exalted Word of God. Jesus is the exalted. He's the exalted Word of God. Psalm 138:2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have exalted your word. We have exalted your word above all your name. We have exalted your word above all your name. Jesus is the exalted Word of God. He is exalted. And number four, Jesus is the triumphant Word of God. Jesus is the triumphant. These things are key. It is very critical so that we know when we're dealing with the Word of God, what are we dealing with? And some of us, we're not taking the Word of God seriously, not understanding what the Word of God is. Had we have understanding of what the Word of God is, we would have had a different attitude towards the Word of God. And I'm telling you the honest truth, our lives would have changed for the better. We would not be where we are in the station of life currently had we taken the Word of God seriously. Have we had the revelation of the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. He is the triumphant Word of God. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, triumphing. The Word of God triumphing over them in it. The Word of God triumphing over them in the cross. Jesus is the triumphant and victorious word of God. Now imagine when we are handling something that is victorious. Understanding the word of God, that the word of God is triumphant and victorious. Handling something. You see, these things are spiritual. These matters are spiritual. The issue of the word of God is spiritual. And we all know by now that the word of God is not an it. We know by now that the word of God is Jesus Christ. We know by now that the word of God is God himself. In the beginning was the word, the word was with God, the word was God. When we're handling the word of God, we're handling God himself. We are dealing with God himself. Revelation of these things is key. And fifthly, number five. Oh my goodness. Number five, Revelation 1 and 18. Number five, Revelation 1 and number 18. Revelation 1 and 18. I am he who lives. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. He has the keys of hell and death. Oh, death, be not proud. Oh, death, be not proud. Oh, hell, do not think anything of yourself. There is one who is in charge of hell. There is one who is in charge of death. And that one is our God. We shall never be afraid of hell. We shall never be afraid of death. Because we know the one who's got the keys of hell. We know the one who's got the keys of death. This is why we, children of God, are not afraid of death. We are not afraid of dying. Oh, who's going to understand what I'm going to say next? Because death belongs to us. Because hell belongs to us. Who's got the keys? Belongs to us. The Bible says all things are yours, even death itself. Who holds the keys? Oh my goodness, I thought the word of God says we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ owns, we own it together with him. All things are ours. We are not afraid of that which we have control over. We are not afraid of that which we have power over. A child of God has got power over death. Number five, Jesus is the living word of God. He says, I am he who lives and I'm alive forevermore. I live. I am he that lives. The word of, he's the living word of God. When you're reading the word, when you go to the word through the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are dealing with the living word. And the word that is alive forevermore. Job says, my Redeemer lives. He understood this. I say, Job says, my Redeemer liveth. He never said, my Redeemer lived. He never said, my Redeemer shall live. Job says, my Redeemer lives and is alive forevermore. This is the word of God, saints. John 14 and 15. I won't leave you behind on this one. I need you to come along with me. Why do we... A lot of us Christians don't believe the word of God because we have no understanding. Why do a lot of us Christians despise the word of God? We have no understanding. How is it that we Christians, after a Sunday service, we don't even pay attention to the word that was preached because we have no understanding? We think that the pastor just stood there and put ideas together. It is lack of understanding. It's lack of understanding. Now it says in John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my word. The word says, if you love me, keep me. Can you see that? The word of God says, if you love me, keep me. If you love me, keep my word. Jesus is the word of God. So to love Jesus is to love the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. So if you love Jesus, you love the word of God. Friends, you cannot claim to love Jesus and yet you don't love the word. Because Jesus is the word. Do we love the word? Okay. Do we love Jesus? All of us are going to say, yes, we love Jesus. But do we love the word? Of course, not all of us love the word. But Jesus says, if you love me, the word says, if you love me, keep me. If we say that we love Jesus, friends, how often do we spend time in the Word? We say we love Jesus, but Jesus is the Word. If we really love Jesus, we would spend time in the Word. If we love Jesus, we would spend time with the Word, because Jesus is the Word. We went to Scripture. He is called the Word of God. In the beginning, He was. In the beginning, He was with God. In the beginning, it was God. In the beginning, He created everything, and nothing was made without Him. Without Him, absolutely nothing. He is the Word of God. If we truly love Jesus, we would love His Word. If we truly love Jesus, we would spend time in the Word. We demonstrate our love for someone by the time that we set aside to be with them. We demonstrate our love. We say we love Jesus. If we love Jesus, that love would be demonstrated in us setting time aside to spend with Him. How do we spend time with Jesus? The Word. How do we spend time with Jesus? How do we spend time with Jesus? How do we spend time with Jesus? Between last Sunday and today, how much time have you spent on the Word? Because you claim to love Him. Claim to love Him. Since last Sunday and today, how much time have you taken with Jesus? How much time? We demonstrate our love for the people that we love by setting time aside from our busy schedules just to be with them. How often do we do that? How often do we set time aside, and yet we are the ones who are always crying out to Jesus, crying out to Jesus? It could be that we are crying out to the one that we don't even love. We are crying out to the one that we don't even love, and He knows this. Maybe it's the reason why He's silent on some of us. Maybe there's a reason why He's not answering, because we don't love Him genuinely, sincerely, from our hearts. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Jeremiah 29 and 13. Now He says, "And ye shall seek Me and find Me, when ye shall search for Me with all your heart. And ye shall seek Me and find Me, when ye shall search for Me with all..." I love this part. "When you shall search for Me with all your heart." You see, love has got to do with the heart. The feeling of the heart, the emotion of the heart. Love has got to do with the heart. "If you seek Me, you will find Me when you shall search for Me with all your heart." How do we seek God, church? How do we seek God? 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 Do we seek Him? Jesus is the Word of God. If you seek God, you seek God in the Word. He is the Word. And listen, friends. There is going into the Scriptures, and there's going into the Scriptures because you're seeking for God. Those are two different things. People go into the Scriptures for different reasons. Even Satanists, they read the Scriptures. Even people that don't know God, they read the Scriptures. You see that? There is going into the Scriptures seeking for Him. And when you go into the Scriptures and seeking for Him, He says, "I shall be found by you." When you search for Me with all your heart. If you say you haven't found yet, it's because we haven't searched with all your heart. He says, with all your heart. We seek the Lord in His Word. We seek the Lord in His Word. If you love Him, if you love and seek Him, He shall be found by you in and through His Word. This is a guarantee. There's no maybe. Can you see that? No, it is cast in stone. I said last Sunday, the spiritual is fluid. Anything can happen anytime. Listen, when you begin to seek God with all your heart, be ready. Anything can happen anytime. See that? It's how we apply ourselves. It is how we apply ourselves into the things of the Spirit. Time spent in the Word is time spent in Jesus. time spent in the Word. It is time spent in Jesus. Time spent with the Word. It is time spent with Jesus. I am amazed. I meet a lot of Christians that claim to know Jesus, but they don't know the Word. That's an oxymoron. I meet a lot of Christians who claim to know Jesus, but they don't know His Word. And some of them, you meet them, they claim to love Him, but they don't love His Word. No, 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 that cannot be. That is a paradox of note. I say it's a paradox of note. How much time do you spend in the Word? You say you love Jesus. You even cry tears. You see, tears are not a sign that you love Him. A true and sure sign that you love Jesus, it is when you physically and literally go into the Word and say, Lord, I don't know Your Word. Lord, I seek for You. Lord, You will lead me through Your Word to find You. Because, Lord, You have promised in the Scriptures that if I seek for You, I shall find You. And that if I search for You, Lord, with all my heart, You will reveal Yourself. It is an open secret. It is an open secret, church. I say it's an open secret. It has been given to you to know the mysteries. You see, mysteries are secrets. And the mysteries that the Lord was talking about, these are divine mysteries. These are divine secrets. But these divine secrets have been opened to you. It has been given to you. It is an open secret to know God. It is an open secret. And every Christian should know it. And every Christian knows it because it's right there in the Word of God. Search for Me with all your heart. Seek for Me with all your heart. And He says, you shall find Me. I will surely reveal Myself to you. Why up to now you don't know God? Simple answer. You don't love Him. Period. You just want the things that you want from Him. And this is why, because you don't know Him, you are leading Him. Because you don't know Him, you counsel Him. Because you don't know Him, you advise Him. Because you don't know Him, you tell Him. See? No one who knows God will do that. Every person to whom the Lord has revealed Himself, there is reverential fear in that heart. We don't wait for God because we're stupid. We also have ideas, but we pack them. I say we don't wait for God because we're stupid. We also know nice things, we also know good things, but we choose to wait on God. It's not because we're stupid, it's because there's a reverential fear. Oh my goodness. Oh, come on, church. Friends, when we read and study the Word, we are spending time with Jesus. When we read and study, nobody, no pastor, no one should be there to tell you to read and study the Word. No, no, no. Love is organic. I say love is organic. Love for God in you should come naturally. You see, we have the Spirit. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The fact that I'm born again, that I have the Spirit of God within me, there is love of God that flows. Love for God flows out of me. It flows through me. Love for God. And truly, if we have the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit of God will always lead us into the Word. I say, if we truly have the Spirit of God in us, if we truly, not the gimmicks, not the things, but if we truly have the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit of God will lead us into the Word. And can I tell you, we would never be deceived by anyone. Why are we deceived? You deceive the person who does not know the Word. You cannot deceive a person who knows the Word. And I don't know knowing the Bible from cover to cover. I'm saying knowing the person who is the Word. I say knowing the person who is the Word. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I talking to somebody here? I am saying, I'm not talking about knowing the Word, the Bible from cover to cover. No, no. I'm talking about knowing the person of the Bible. The person of the Bible. You can never be deceived. No one can deceive you. Knowing the person of the Bible. When we read and we study the Word, we are spending time with Jesus and we are showing our love for Him. Oh, did you know that? That's how you demonstrate. Lord, I love You. The world is so busy. There's hustle and bustle everywhere. I live in deafening in noise, in a place of noise. But Lord, I'm going to set time aside. Everything is busy. Everything is busy in life. But Lord, I'm going to set time aside. You see, you demonstrate your love for him. To say, Lord, in the time that you bless me with, the 24 hours does not come from me. It comes from you. I'm going to set aside some of it just for you. Lord, this is my offering of love to you. Sir, I love you. Sir, I desire you. Sir, I am nothing without you. Sir, I am nobody without you. This is why, sir, I know that I cannot make it without you. This is why, sir, I set time aside just to be with you in your word. When you read and study the word, you demonstrate your love. Not the lips, not the things we say through our lips. No. When we actually do it. And knowing why we're doing it, remember the word of God is living. When you come with the wrong attitude, the word will not open up. Because the word of God is the person of the Godhead. So when you come with the wrong attitude to the word will not open himself up to you. No, it won't. You can study the word of God and come out with religion. You can study the word of God and come out with philosophy. You can study the word of God and come out with psychology. You see? The motive. I say you can study the word and come out with religion. You can study the word and come out with philosophy. You can study the word and come out with psychology. It depends on the motive. Why? Because the word of God is alive. The word of God is the person of the Trinity. The person of the Trinity. If we knew that, when we study the word, we would reverence. If we knew that, when we read the word in our churches, we would reverence him. We would reverence him. But today, when the pastor opens the word, we are nonchalant. We are not paying attention. We are not even here. See? Not reverence. For lack of understanding. When we meditate on the word, we are meditating on Jesus. Please know that from today, it will change everything. When we meditate on the word, we are meditating on Jesus. I say we are meditating on Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Let's go for a revelation in John 4, 14. I hope you don't miss it. John 14 and 21. This is why people are going everywhere looking for prophecies, because they are denying and rejecting Jesus, who is the Word of God. They are looking for human, lying, deceiving prophecies. These are people who have long rejected. They've long rejected Jesus. They've long rejected the word. That's why they get so excited with so-called prophecies, but they never get excited with the reading of the word. These are the people that have strayed so far from God in their hearts, they are not even aware of it. They hate the word. They don't want the word. They want human prophecies. They are looking for human prophecies, because these people have long rejected Jesus Christ. They get excited with human prophecies. They travel the globe over looking for human prophecies, living the word of God that is with them and that is in them. They hate him. Jesus knows Christians hate him. Jesus knows people who go to church hate him. Jesus knows people who call themselves Christians, they hate him. He knows it. The churches that are called by his name, the churches called by his name, they hate him, and he knows it. They don't love him. They don't want him. They don't want the word. No. They want human, lying, misleading prophecies. They are looking for human word and not the Son of God. Not the darling of heaven, not the darling of, not the one who's the peak, not the one who's the peak of the creation of God, who is the Son of God, the one who made everything. And the Bible says everything was made by him and everything was made for him. Now that which he made, and he made it for himself, it is rejecting him. Few Christians in the churches today. Few Christians in the churches today. Christians are empty of the word. They come to church empty of the word. They leave church empty of the world, of the word. They leave empty, empty, empty of the word. Jesus knows. He looks, he sees. He knows everything. He knows everything. They say they know Jesus, they say they love Jesus, but if you come closer to them, nothing of the word comes out of them. Because you cannot give what you don't have, you cannot give what is not inside you. Anything that is empty will give out emptiness. They don't love him. They've been in church for the past 50 years, but they are rejecting him. All that time they've been rejecting him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who has my commandments and keeps them. This is the word. This is the word. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who loves my word, it is he that loves me. That's what he's saying. The one who loves me is not the one who say they love me. The one who loves me is the one who loves my word. Now here's the thing. God is God and he knows everything. God, he says what he means and he means what he says. Now let's continue. Now, he who loves me, or rather he who loves my word, it is he that loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And he who loves me, which is he that loves my word, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. You see, God knows all things. He will not manifest himself to the one who does not love his word, who doesn't love him. He will not manifest himself. They can travel Africa. I say they can travel Africa and they will still not find him. They'll still not find him. They'll say, there's a prophet this side, there's an apostle this side, there's a powerful pastor this side. No, he who loves my word, I will reveal myself to such a one. God knows all things. God sees all things. God says what he means and he means what he says. You see that? He will never reveal himself to the one who doesn't love the word. What does this mean? When you read the word, spend time on the word, meditate on the word, he will manifest himself. Motive. Why are you reading? Why are you studying? Why are you meditating? My goal, my motive is him. Then he manifests himself. He will. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt about it. This is what we're talking about, church. Now, what is the key here that unlocks the mystery and the grace of the Godhead abiding and dwelling with us always? What is the mystery found here? Of the Godhead abiding and dwelling with us always. What is the mystery and the grace in this scripture? The word. That's it. He says, I will manifest myself and I will abide with you. I will dwell with you always. And by the way, not just me, but me, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, simply because of the word. You neglect the word. Here's the thing. No one can come to my Father without me. No one can come to my Father without me, without Jesus. No one can go to God. Holy Spirit, he will always lead us to Jesus. But how does Holy Spirit lead us to Jesus? He leads us to Jesus by the word. He leads us to Jesus through the word. This is why some of us, we have always been seeking for Jesus. We've never found him. And we will never find him. Jesus is the living word of God. He is the life-giving spirit, the Bible says. He says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. the words I speak to you, if this pastor is from God, that means the words that come out of the mouth of this pastor, they are spirit and they are life. This is why fleshly, carnal people cannot understand them. The word of God is living and powerful in all the scripture. Jesus Christ is alive and is full of power. He says, I'm he that lives and I'm alive forevermore. The word of God is alive. The word of God is living right now. It is living. The word of God is not dead. The word of God is not religion. The word of God is not religion. Even if religious bodies, they take the word of God and they put their logos, whatever, on the Bible, it does not mean that it's theirs. The word of God is not religion. The word of God is alive. Friends, the word defeated and triumphed over the devil in the wilderness of temptation. It was the word that defeated Satan. It was the word that triumphed over him, that triumphed. We are surrounded, we have a lot of temptations, but what is it that defeats the devil? It is by the word of God. It defeated and triumphed over him. The word of God is victorious and triumphant. I say the word of God is victorious and triumphant. That means we shall never fail. We can never fail. Oh my goodness. And you people of God, the fact that we have failed in something does not mean that you are a failure. Perspective. Last Sunday message. Perspective. When you fail at something, it does not mean that you are a failure. But thank God for permitting the failure, because now the failure shall reveal to you whether you are of God or you are not of God. Because if you are of God in the failure, that's when you will begin to seek Him sincerely. Sincerely. The failure can be trial. The thing is, we don't understand what a trial is. We don't understand what a tribulation is. You see, there is a testing of our faith. But you don't know the form the test will take. The failure could be a test. The failure could be a trial. You see, he talks about trials. He talks about testings. But you don't know the form the trial is going to take. Now, perspective. Perspective. How, what you see and how you see it. What you see. Oh my goodness. And if you're a child of God, there's a blessing in this failure of yours. There's a blessing. If you are a child of God, there's a blessing. Discernment. Discernment is required. The word of God never fails. The word of God can do all things. Nothing is impossible for the word of God. Oh my goodness. In Psalms 107, a scripture that we know also well, he says, he sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destructions. Listen what he did. He sent forth his word. The word of God can do all things. The word of God can never fail. Why? Why? Because the word of God is God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. So the word of God is God, and God cannot fail. So the word of God cannot fail. The word of God can never fail. In Isaiah 55, a scripture again that we know so well, he says, so shall my word be, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return, it shall not return unto me void. My word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return to me void. What does it mean? The word cannot fail. He says, it shall accomplish the thing whereto I sent it. The word of God always accomplishes what God wants. He sends his word, and his word does exactly what he says. The word of God does exactly what God has sent it. If the Lord has spoken a thing, it is as good as done. I say, if the Lord has spoken a thing, it is as good as done. If the Lord has promised a thing, it is as good as delivered, signed, sealed, delivered. When God has promised a thing, remember, God, he first fulfills before he promises. Listen, fulfillment with God, it comes before the promise. Oh my goodness, I'm talking to the people that know God. Fulfillment with God comes before the promise. God does not promise and then fulfill. No, he first fulfills and then promises. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. So if the Lord has promised, it is as good as delivered. Every promise of God to us, every promise of God, Figzo, every promise of God to us, we must consider it done. We know this, that at creation, the Lord, he spoke his word and he said, let there be, and it was. He said, let there be, and it was. He commanded light to shine out of darkness. I say, he commanded light to shine out of darkness. Where there was no light, God commanded light, and the word did it. I say, the word of God did it. Why? Because the word of God always does exactly what God wants. The word of God always does exactly what God wants for you. You see, it is the word of God that will always accomplish the will of God for you. The word of God that we despise, the word of God that we reject, the word of God that we have no energy to go into. See, it is always the word of God that will accomplish what he wants for us. The Bible says God, he calls those things which be not as though they were. God, he calls those things which be not as though they were. When the Lord is with us, we must not bother about the things which we do not have. As long as the Lord is with us, we must never bother about the things that we do not have. Why? Because God, he speaks things that do not exist. They do not exist into existence. So you don't worry about what you do not have, because God, he wanted light and there was no light and there was darkness. But God, he spoke the light out of darkness because God wanted the light. You see, in our need, in our situation, the word of God will always create, that which we need, that which we want. So we must never bother about the things we don't have. When we have God, we've got everything. When we've got Christ, we've got everything. Because all things are possible for the Word. The Word of God can do all things. The Word of God always does exactly what God wants. Am I talking to people of God in this place? Friends, all we need is the word of God which creates those things which do not exist. All we need is the word of God which creates the things that do not exist, the things that we do not have. So when I have the word of God, I've got everything. Ah, come on. Understanding. The grace of understanding. Revelation. To have understanding and wisdom in the things of the Spirit. When I have the word of God, I have everything. Some of us are sick today, but the word to heal us is there. Some of us are in pain today, but the word to heal the heartbreak is there. The word is there, but we are not touching the word. We are not going into the word. We are not looking for the word. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Romans 4 and 17. Imagine standing in my business and say, Lord, I speak your word over my business. My business, listen to the word of God. Reading the word to your business. Standing in your business and say, my business, hear now the word of the Lord. My business, hear now the word of the Lord. For thus says the word of the Lord, to this my business you shall be prosperous. Business you shall prosper. Business you shall make profit. Business. Speaking the word of God to your business. Going to a business when there's no one there. Just opening the word of God and speaking to your business. There's no one there. There's no customer. Just you and God. Say, I'm speaking to my business. Customers will come here. And not the customers that come with 5 cents. But the customers that come with real money. Oh my goodness, I speak to this door. I say, you door, you will receive the people. I say, you door, the people shall enter through you. You door, I'm speaking the word of the Lord to you. Hi, yeah. Oh, come on, somebody. The thing now, we've got not just the word, we've got religion in it. And not only that, we've got churchism in it. Church, we are full of churchism. We are full of churchism. We know church more than we know the word. You see the problem? We know church more than we know the word. Church, everything that comes first, church, and not the word. And not the word. Are the people of God still with me today? Now it says, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, in the presence of him that Abraham believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You see, friends, such was the faith of this man, Abraham, and such was the God in whom that he believed. He believed in the God who gives life to dead things. You see, Abraham believes in the God to say, no matter what is dead in my life, anything that is dead, my vision dead, my dream dead, my plans dead, whatever it is, but I believe in the God who gives life to anything that is dead. You see, such was the God in the whom that this man believed. I don't know the God in whom you believed. And such was the faith. Such was the faith of Abraham. Honestly, I don't know about your faith. But the faith of Abraham was such that he believes in the God. He believes in the God who gives life to anything that is dead. My career may have died, but he believes in that God. My career might have taken a knock, but he believes in that God. I might have lost my job. I might have lost my promotion. I might have lost my anything. But God, he speaks something into nothing, and the something becomes. You see, such was the faith of this man, and such was the God that the man Abraham believed. Oh my goodness. Oh hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. This is the God who speaks something into nothing, and something becomes in the nothing. Light be. There was no light anywhere. But the word of God fulfilled it. The word of God will always fulfill that which God wants for you. Do you believe in the God who speaks into existence? Abraham believed in that God. That's Romans 4:17. Gives us a perspective, a mindset of the faith of Abraham. Gives us a demeanor. Faith has a demeanor. 4:17 gives us a demeanor of the faith of Abraham. Now, according to the demeanor of your faith, you see, you will never have anything beyond your faith. You will never have anything beyond that which you believe for. How is your faith demeanor? The demeanor of Abraham's faith, he believed in the God who gives life to anything that has died. It does not matter what it is. He gives life to it. Anything that does not exist, if God wants it for me. You see, that was the demeanor of his faith. The demeanor of his faith was the faith for the impossible. Faith that makes the impossible possible. Faith that believes in the God who makes the impossible possible. That means if I believe in the God who makes the impossible possible, I will never have an impossible another day in my life. Oh, come on. If I believe, if my faith is such that I believe in the God who makes the impossible possible. That simply means I will never see impossible as long as I live. Oh, come on, church. I will never see impossible. Why? Because I have the faith. My faith is such that the demeanor, the mentality, the perspective of my faith is such that I believe in the God who makes the impossible possible. So that means as long as I live, I can never say impossible any longer. God speaks things into existence that do not exist, and his word accomplishes them. Do you see the relationship? God, he speaks things that do not exist into existence, and his word accomplishes them. Jesus is the word that accomplishes all things. There is nothing impossible with him. Now, when the Lord said to the disciples, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, but you believe that the things you say shall be done. You see, he wasn't saying to them, it is your ability, it is your great faith to do it. No, no, no. It is the word. 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 No, no, no. The faith of Abraham did not accomplish anything. The word of God accomplished everything. The one who accomplishes the impossible is the word. The one who makes the impossible possible is the word. You see that? Now, faith in the word. Oh my goodness. The Lord Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, you are doing good, but believe also in me, because you can believe in God, but if God speaks it and I don't do it, you will not have it. So you believe in God, but believe also in his word. You believe God, you believe his word. You know God, do you know his word? You know God, but you know his word. You believe in God, but believe also in me. I say, you know God, but believe also in me. Anything that God wants, his word creates it. I say, anything that God wants, his word creates it. And the word makes available anything for us if it already exists. Sometimes there are things that we need that already exist, but the word of God makes them available to us. The word of God makes them available to us. Jesus is the word of God that walked on the water. Jesus is the word of God that rebuked storms and calmed the seas. Jesus is the word of God that multiplied bread and fish and fed thousands. It was the word of God that did that. Jesus is the word of God that made the blind to see. He's the word of God that made the deaf to hear. He's the word of God that made the lame to walk. Jesus is the word of God that healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus is the word of God that raised the dead. Jesus is the word of God in us, the hope of glory. He is the word of God in us. He is the word of God in us, the hope of glory. Oh my goodness. Jesus is the word of God. Let us fall in love with Jesus. Let us fall in love with the word of God. God has given us something. God has given us somebody who lives in us, who is the hope of glory. That means God can do anything as long as we believe his word. He is the word that walked on water. It's that word of God that walked on water, church. Oh, glory to the one above. Oh, Father, we bless you today. Ephesians 1 and 17 through 19. This is why the person that I am, I don't care about people's personalities. Honestly, I don't care. I care about the person who speaks the word of God. I care about the person who has the word of God. I don't care about personalities. I don't care about pastors. This one is like this. This one is like that. This one is called prophet. This one is called dungeon. I don't care what they are called. I'm looking for the living word of God. That's all I'm looking for. Do you know that in the garbage, you know garbage? In the rubbish, you can find a Jew. If you are wise. In the rubbish, you can find a Jew, and it will make you rich forever. But some of us, we see garbage, we reject it without discernment. Without discernment. Without discernment. Without discernment. We reject everything. Without saying, Lord, must I or must I not? See, that's key. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in the knowledge of Him, in the knowledge of Him. It is absolutely crucial that we see God. Can you see that? In the knowledge of, everything hangs there. Everything hangs on that. In the knowledge of Him. This is why it is critically important, absolutely important, crucial that we see God. And friends, this is why. It's right in the scripture. Same scripture. And this is why. Let's go on. Number 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That you may know. When you see God, that you may know. When you see God and God reveals Himself to you, then you will know. Then you will know. Then you will know. All right? That you may know what is the hope of His calling. That means what he has ultimately called us into. What has God ultimately called us into? A lot of us Christians, we don't know our calling. We don't understand this Christian calling, honestly. We don't understand it. That's why we take it for granted. We really do. That's why we really care less about a lot of things that we should really, really, really be careful about. What has He ultimately called us into? Right? How do we know that? When we seek Him. Because when we seek Him, then we may know. When we seek Him, then that we may know. Right? And now he continues and he says, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That is to say, what He has deposited and vested in us. When we see God, we get to know what God has deposited and vested in us, both now and eternally. Do we know the things that are for us, that are to manifest now, that we are to walk in now, that we are to glorify God now, and not just eternally, but when we seek God, it is revealed both the now and the eternal. You see, the knowledge of Him that we may know. Do we come to church for that? Of course not. We come to church for pastors who are going to light us. And not to reveal by the Spirit our true treasure, our true inheritance. Am I talking to somebody here? And number 19, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness? I always get stuck on the exceeding greatness. It's beyond word. It's beyond understanding. This one cannot be fathomed. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us ward who believe? Already that has messed your mind up. It just messes you around. My goodness, Lord, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us ward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, the Lord, He has given us the word and the name. The word and the name. Which He has given to us. The word and then you can't defeat that in the kingdom of God. The word and the name is the ultimate. So much so that He exalted His word. Which He has given to us to operate according to His will. And according to the knowledge of Him. That means if we don't seek Him and we don't know Him, we will be very ignorant. We will forfeit. We go to the grave having forfeited the exceeding greatness. I say we go to the grave having forfeited the exceeding greatness. We are all born for the exceeding greatness. But how do we know it? How is it revealed? And how does it manifest? When we seek Him, church, seek Him. Seek Him. When you read the word, wait. Say, Holy Spirit, reveal your word to me. Where do I go? That will change everything. No. Today I'm going to study Jeremiah. Tomorrow I'm hitting Micah. No. It's good to know logos because revelation comes out of logos. Without logos, no revelation. Without logos, no life. See, rhema. Rhema is ingrained in the logos. You see that? But to ask him to lead us, to ask him to guide us. We are all born, not your pastor only. No, all of us are born for the exceeding greatness. I say for the exceeding greatness. You see, some of us, we think when our pastor is escorted in a long line of black cars, then our church has arrived. No. Your own exceeding greatness. Exceeding greatness. It's right here. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, says, if you love me, you'll open it. If you love me, you'll thirst for it. If you love me, you'll seek for it. If you love me, you'll want it. You will want it. This is why we don't have Bible study here in the ministry as yet, but everything we do is Bible study. I was saying to somebody that what Pastor KB does in the war room, it is Bible study and cell group combined, plus prayer on top, if you are listening. It is three things in one. It is Bible study, it is cell group, and it is prayer, all in one. The day when we will have like this, a gathering, and say, this gathering, we call it a Bible study. You see, it will not be for religious reasons. No. When God allows it, this word will manifest in our gathering. No. It is only those who thirst, who hunger, who seek him out. Because what we're going through, it will manifest to us. That's the point. That's the difference between life and religion. Between religion and life, that's the difference. The one manifests, the one talks about, but it remains dead. It remains dead. That's why when you go into these places, there's a wooden statue of Christ hanging on the cross. Yeah, that's where they're stuck. No, he's come down from the cross. Now, this church has never come down from the cross. You see? Jesus is the Word of God who makes all things possible for us. Jesus is the Word of God who makes all things possible for us. Who makes everything. Jesus is the Word of God who makes everything we need available to us. That's why we ought to follow him. We ought to work with him. We ought to operate with him. We ought to go at his pace because he makes everything we need available to us. We can neither rush him nor slow him down. He is always on time. We can neither rush him nor slow him down. He is always on time. This is why we must always go at his pace. Jesus is the unfailing word of God. Jesus cannot fail. It is impossible for Jesus to fail. Jesus cannot fail us. Jesus cannot fail us. Jesus cannot fail you. And here is why. Because God cannot fail. In the beginning, he was there. In the beginning, he was God. He never failed. He will never fail. He cannot fail. Let's clap hands for Jesus.